Welcome to English with Fraser, the weekly podcast for intermediate English learners who are serious about improving. Whether you're brushing up or building your confidence, join me each week for real conversations, smart tips, and the touch of that British charm. Let's level up your English one episode at a time. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to English with Fraser. Thanks, everyone, for rejoining us on this little five-part Beijing trip series. Today, we have, of course, reached part four out of five on that Beijing trip special. And today, it's something that I know everybody loves, and that is food. Because let's face it, one of the best ways to understand a culture is through its cooking. And Beijing did not disappoint. Although I must add, I didn't solely eat food native to Beijing. It was more Chinese food in general across the old People's Republic. And actually, I will have to apologise and excuse myself for my voice at the moment, because it's actually a little bit hoarse. Unfortunately, recently I did indeed catch a cold or a flu from a colleague at work. So we've got a new starter here, and I was teaching him a little bit about the system we use at the firm, and he had a bad cold and unfortunately passed it to me, but that was accidental, so we can't be too miffed about that.
In this episode, we're going to go through some of the food adventures we had, from steaming bowls of hot pot to fluffy dumplings to Beijing street food and even a cheeky McDonald's.
Part one. So we're going to start today with hot pot. Now, this is, of course, one of the big ones, and that is Chinese hot pot. Now, if you've never tried hot pot before, imagine this. A big pot of boiling broth in the middle of the table, split into different sections. So you usually have two different soups or two different broths in the middle, although you can just have one or even three. I think the three was the maximum you could have at Banu, which is a famous Beijing hot pot restaurant. And so you've got the hot pot broth in the middle, and then around it you have plates and bowls stacked with various items: thinly sliced beef, lamb, vegetables, noodles, tofu, shrimp, and more exotic things such as tripe or even duck's blood. Now, tripe is often a neglected part of the animal in the UK and not eaten very often, but in China, tripe is extremely popular, especially that sort of beef tripe. Now, I have had tripe a few times, once in China actually, and the best way to describe the texture is like eating a carpet, you know, a carpet on the floor, or like eating the outside of a pufferfish. Go and Google pufferfish. You see that type of fish with all the spikes on the skin? That's what it felt like eating tripe. Like eating tough carpet or tough bit of boot. Now, the actual flavour's not too bad, but that's all because you're dipping it into the hot pot broth and also adding the sauces on the side. Now, what else did I eat? So we had the duck's blood. Now, the duck's blood is a bright red, incredibly in-your-face bright red, that sort of red, and it's almost jelly-like, so it's not liquidy, it's sort of like a jelly, And it's sort of like in a wobbles as well. And then what happens, the waiter or the waitress will dip that into the hot pot, let it soak in the broth for a while. And then eventually, after maybe 5 minutes, it'll start floating to the top. And then there'll be pieces of duck's blood that are very soft, but sort of congealed. And that was honestly quite strange. Not the tastiest, I have to say. Now, at this hot pot restaurant we went to two actually. Went to the Banu one, which does Sichuan style hot pot, the most famous hot pot in China. And then we went to a Beijing hot pot restaurant, which does Beijing style hot pot. Now, if any of you guys or girls have had Beijing hot pot before, please let me know what you thought about it, because the one we had was incredibly bad. So bad. So the Beijing style hot pot, unlike the Sichuan hot pot, the broth in the middle, the soup, it was just water. And then the speciality was lamb. So essentially what you were doing, having thin slices of lamb, which were good quality lamb, and dipping it into the water broth. So there was no sauce, and you were just eating slightly boiled slices of lamb. Incredibly disappointing. Whereas Banu, on the other hand, you can choose what broth you want. So their speciality is the mushroom one, the mushroom soup, or the tomato one, and the hot one. So I always make sure we get one hot and then usually one mushroom. And then that way you've got a bit of variety, flavour sensations. You've got hot going on. You've got a little bit of not so sweet, little sweet from the tomato, and then that mushroomy, quite earthy flavour from the mushrooms.
Ah, yes, Fraser. Nothing says holiday feast like cooking your own dinner in a boiling cauldron. Reminds me of the British Empire. You bring the world's flavours together in one pot and hope it doesn't explode.
Oh, and of course, how can I forget? So we also got the toad's leg and the pig brain. So the pig brain, I've had pig brain at hot pot restaurants in China maybe 3 or 4 times now. The actual taste is not too bad. So you put that in a little metal, sort of small fryer container thing. Put that in the hot pot soup for maybe 10-15 minutes. And then you can take it out and eat it. Now, the consistency and the texture of the pig brain is almost that of a chocolate mousse. So it's quite soft, very moussey, easy to eat. And then taste-wise, it's not too bad. Not the best thing I've ever eaten, but also not the worst. But now I like to get it every time because it's just funny to see a foreigner, a white man in China, eating pig brain. So that's my little bit of fun. In terms of normal things, of course, you've got your beef, different types of beef, strips of beef, the shrimp balls. Really like the shrimp balls. They're really nice. Fish tofu. They've got these Cantonese sausages, sort of small sausages, a little bit sweet, dip them in. And lots of vegetables and breadsticks and all this stuff. And one of the cool things about these hot pot places is they give you sort of free pieces of melon to eat. And actually these melons work really well in tandem with the hot pot. So you eat loads of spicy hot pot, spicy soup, and then the melon sort of cools it down nicely and allows you to take a break and then eat more hot pot.
Brains, Fraser? Good heavens. The last time I heard of someone eating brains was in the officer's mess during the Raj. Still, if it makes you cleverer at chess, I might give it a go myself.
Next up, Beijing crispy duck. Of course, no trip to the capital of the People's Republic would be complete without mentioning its most iconic dish, and that is Peking duck or Beijing duck. Now this is heaven on a plate. Now those of you that did not know, Beijing used to be called Peking, so that's why in menus in Western Chinese restaurants or in Europe or even America, I suppose, although I'm not American, sometimes it'll say Peking duck. And you may think, oh, Peking duck, Beijing duck, what's the difference? Well, they are the same place. Peking was just its old name. Now, I think lots of people have already eaten crispy duck. Now, personal experience, we have crispy duck a lot in the UK from Chinese restaurants, and it's just the ultimate experience, the ultimate meal. And the whole point with the crispy duck, in my opinion, it's not just about the food, it's sort of a whole performance. So the chef comes out, he has a sharp knife in hand, slices the duck, or you may see the chef do it in front of the kitchen with a window. We had that, so you could see him slicing the duck into thin, glistening pieces of meat. And then the skin is of course extra golden, crispy, really delicate, melts in your mouth. And then once you've got the meat, you've not finished, because what you do is you grab it, you put it together, and you wrap it up in that soft, delicate pancake. Add a bit of cucumber, spring onion, brush a bit of sweet bean sauce or hoisin sauce. Although I've been told hoisin is not a word they say in Chinese, so I don't know where that's come from, but I'd say hoisin sauce, but actually it's sort of sweet plum sauce. So then finally you roll it up like a cigarette, take a bite, and suddenly understand why emperors demanded this dish at their banquets. It's rich, savoury, a little sweet, and a true masterpiece of flavour and texture. Got the softness of the pancake around the outside. Got the crispiness from the duck skin. You actually pick the duck up with your chopsticks and then put it in the sugar and then the sauce. Or the sauce, then the sugar. I'm not sure which order. So essentially you get that plum sauce and then sweet sugar. And that sugar's got that crispiness. And then there's that spring onion and cucumber that just cuts through it. Oh, perfection. What do you think, Winston?
You're making me drool, old chap. Oh, yes. Now that, my boy, is what I call regal dining. Forget your fish and chips for a moment. This is the kind of meal where you sit back, loosen the waistcoat and declare, I could conquer the world after another pancake or two.
Exactly, Winston. Bang on the money, my son. It's one of those meals that makes you feel like you're eating history. Every bite is tied to centuries of Beijing tradition. And trust me, every bite is as good as people say. 10 out of 10. Part 3. Dumplings, or as they're called in Chinese, baozi. Now, I feel like everyone's heard of baozi or baobao for dumplings. It's certainly a name I've heard of before I started learning Chinese again. But dumplings, many cultures, many cuisines have dumplings. Chinese dumplings are no different. Really good. Top food. You've got that little parcel of joy that can be steamed, boiled, or fried. I think I prefer the steamed ones. And you've got that big fluffy sort of bao on the outside, almost like a cloud. And then in the inside you've got your choice of fillings, but I have to say the pork one, fantastic. Got that nice bit of pork, you've got that rich gravy. You get a soft bit of that baozi and that pork comes out. It sort of overflows from each bite as you bite into the middle. You do have to be careful because you can burn your tongue on the first bite. And I've learned that the hard way, let me tell you. And dumplings are just one of those everyday comfort food for people from Beijing. Historically speaking, the dumpling is more of a northern thing in northern China. Not to say people don't have dumplings in the south, but they're definitely more popular up north. Same with noodles, historically speaking. So up north, people tend to prefer noodles and they historically ate noodles more than rice because rice was grown more and enjoyed more in the south. But that's a generalization now, of course. You can eat whatever you want in China. Rice, noodles, baozi, jiaozi, anything. Cheap, filling, and always satisfying. And we had them in a nice little small local restaurant. And it felt like stepping into a part of family life in Beijing, didn't it, Winston?
Now, Fraser, dumplings I can respect. None of this fancy tripe business. A proper dumpling is like a Scotch egg. Simple, hearty, and keeps a chap marching on.
Now, of course, we did have other casual, everyday, hearty Chinese dishes. They weren't always exotic. So we had the chow mein, which is the stir-fried noodles. Absolutely love that. Such a classic. Braised pork belly, beef with peppers. Anything you really want, ramen, noodles. But lastly, ladies and gentlemen, I do have to confess. There was one night where, after a long night climbing the Great Wall, like the great man himself, we didn't go to a restaurant, but we ordered takeout. Now, takeout, what did you order? Maybe some noodles? Maybe some fried pork? No, I confess, McDonald's. Now, as a foreigner in China, I love Chinese food, but occasionally you want that taste of home, and that's what the burger brings. And of course, I had to compare because I'm certain the Big Macs in the UK have got progressively smaller. Shrinkflation. I'm certain they've got smaller. And I compared the size in England and China, and it's marginal, but I do think the Chinese Big Mac is bigger. So there you go. Use that information as you wish. McDonald's, always really tasty, wherever you are, and it's sort of that hint of home to make you feel, to massage your feelings and say, don't worry, we have burgers here as well.
McDonald's in Beijing? For shame, Fraser. You cross continents for culinary adventure and you end up with a Big Mac? Rule Britannia, lad. Stick to the dumplings. Now let me tell you, dear listeners, food is the empire of the senses. From the mighty roast beef of old England to the fiery hot pot of Beijing, it binds us together, fuels our adventures, and occasionally terrifies us. But remember this, whether it's dumplings or Yorkshire pudding, it's best enjoyed with good company and a pint nearby.
That's a wrap on today's episode of English with Fraser. I hope you enjoyed and learned something new. Remember, mastering English is all about immersing yourself in natural content. After all, we're making English effortless, one episode at a time. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Keep going. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and most importantly, share with a friend, family member, or colleague who also may be learning English. I'll be back soon with more natural English content. Until then, keep practicing, listening, and enjoy the journey. Bye for now.